This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 447. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, please subscribe. You can do it on iTunes. You can also do it via our website if you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com. Thank you very much if you've taken the time recently to write a five-star review on iTunes. It's helping with our chart position. You will have seen us soaring up the charts of recent times, and a lot of that comes down to you writing nice stuff about us. Even if it's lies, we still appreciate it. Thank you very much for doing it. Please get involved with all our social media at Fight Disciples on everything bar Instagram. On Instagram, it's at The Fight Disciples. And you can get our YouTube channel as well. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for there. And you will have been there last week for a bit of a chat about Callum Smith and Canelo. We've kind of already done it, but we're doing it again. Why? Because it's great. Yes. So if you missed the YouTube thing that we did last week, don't worry. We're going to talk about it on the show over the next hour or so. So thank you very much for coming along and coming to join in. I promise. Well, I can't promise, actually. He will be biased. He is going to tell you that Callum Smith's going to be the fucking king of the world. That's what he's going to do. All right.
Easy work.
And this is another thing as well. For regular listeners to the Fight Disciples podcast, especially over the last 3 months in particular, positive vibes only today. I know what you're thinking.
Vibes.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, he can't do it. He can't do 60 minutes without slagging summer off. I promise you, I'm in a great mood today. I've got a little bit of a spring in my step.
I guarantee I can tell you something that will piss you off about boxing to start.
Don't bring it up then. Don't bring it up. If you can guarantee that I'm gonna get upset and go on a rant, don't bring it up, Nick. Right? Let's just pretend that it doesn't exist in the world. All right?
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
All right. If you're being a bit too sprightly, I might bring it up later. But
nothing
on,
but sprightly.
Let's be positive.
Listen, last week I was inundated with messages going, lads, didn't sit on the fence this week, did you? You fucking give it everybody. Every man and his dog got it. Yeah, they did. Every man and his dog did get it. But every man and his dog's getting it this week for positive vibes only. How can you not be in a good mood this week with boxing? Given what you saw at the weekend, given what you know what's coming up this weekend, given the fact that we've just had Canelo Callum Smith confirmed for Christmas, given the fact that you've got, what, 6-7 stellar weeks of fights on the way between now and January the 2nd? Come on, baby! Now's the time to be a boxing fan! Now's the time to put a bloody smile on your face. I mean, you've even had your hair cut off your wife, mate. We've not even mentioned that yet. Jesus Christ, she's made you look like Mrs. Doubtfire. What the fuck is that?
I had to literally twist her arm to do it because it was just driving me insane. You know, I thought I would get these beautiful flowing locks, you know, and look like PLO or something. But unfortunately, I literally just look like Alan from
The Hangover.
What's it called? The Hangover Show. So it had to go. It was fucking driving me insane.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, Jane's had a crack at it. She's never cut hair before. And now I just look like, you know,
Mrs. Doubtfire. It's a belter.
Yeah.
You do look like it's a 70-year-old good, woman. It's amazing how she's managed to get that mini afro looking like that. It's good, man.
If I had the big glasses, I would be Elton John.
Yeah.
I
just, do you put curlers in?
It's not a good haircut.
Do you put curlers in to get that wave, or is that just the natural kink?
That's just a natural wave. That, yeah, too much crust as a kid, probably.
Yeah,
that's what you're always told. Want to eat your crust, your hair will go curly.
Yeah, I did. Obviously, mine fell out.
But yeah, it is a show. It is absolutely abysmal. and you're going to get to see it up close and personal all week. I hope there's a barber inside this bubble with Frank for the Frank Warren show.
Yeah.
Look at the kip of it. Look at the kip of it.
You know that we're doing visual stuff this week, yeah? You can't hide behind your microphone and your headphones this week, mate. You're actually on camera.
I've brought an array of hats. So I'm going to have to be on camera.
You're a
40-odd-year-old
fella. You can't be walking around with baseball caps on, mate, thinking that you're off YouTube. Look at you.
If the kids can do it, I can do it. That's what I say.
There he is. Nick's obviously making reference there to the bubble that we are entering tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday. We will be in the Queensbury bubble this week. We've been invited in to cover Dubois, Joyce, Jack Catterall on this weekend as well. At an amazing venue. Have you seen the pictures?
Looks incredible.
Of Church House.
Absolutely mental.
Shit, they're bad, man. Do you know something? This is another thing. This is why I'm in such a good mood. Nice and sprightly. I've never been to this place before. I've never seen boxing at this place before. I doubt that boxing's ever been on at this place before. It is, of course, where Winston Churchill gave his speech for the sinking of the battleship Bismarck, wasn't it? Back in 1941, if I'm not mistaken. Fantastic, iconic venue for a Battle of Britain this weekend. And we're going to be there, mate. We're going to be there. Sticking our noses in and getting stuck into it. See what I mean? These crazy times in the world of boxing have brought out the creativity and the innovation amongst all of us, not just the guys that are making YouTube products or podcast products, but the guys that are putting the shows on, the Queensbury guys, the Matchroom guys. We've already seen it from them. We're seeing it from the guys over in America. I tell you, man, we're leading the way. Boxing's leading the way. What's not to be happy about, Nick?
You're in such a sprightly mood. This is hilarious. This is hilarious. I guarantee by the end of this show, I've got you ranting. I guarantee by the end of this show, I get a rant out of you.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Nothing's going to get me in a bad mood when I talk about this fella, Conor Benn, at the weekend, right?
Oh, yes.
We knew that it was a tough task taking on Formella. Formella's obviously gone the distance with Sean Porter. That's world-level fighting. And we knew that this kid could fight. Sensational jab. Can box very, very well, and he's got a hell of a tank on him. And we knew that maybe aggression would be needed from Conor Benn in order to get the job done. And it was there. There's no doubt about the aggression was there, but fucking hell, what has he been doing over the last 13 months? Doing the work in the darkness so he can shine in the spotlight with Tony Sims. This is the biggest compliment, and I put this on social media for Conor Benn, the biggest compliment I can pay that lad. At the age that he's at, he's always asking questions and he's always wanting to listen, always wanting to learn. He's consistently asking those questions, even like to morons like me when he does radio shows. He goes, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So if he's doing it with me, he's definitely picking the brains of people far more intelligent, the likes of the Tony Sims and the former boxers of this world. And it's showing in his work. At the weekend, mate, he looked mustard. And I thought, fair play, lad. Fair play. He's coming on leaps and bounds and he hasn't hit the ceiling yet. Hopefully he can keep learning and keep growing and keep going. And he really has now. He's really set up that fight with Josh Kelly, you know. He's really set it up because ages ago I was thinking, don't bite off more than you can chew. Now, listen, Josh Kelly's got to come through David Evanesian. That is tough. He might not come through that.
Very.
And that might put the kibosh on this particular fight. But if he does come through it, Conor Benn, Josh Kelly, that is a hell of a fight now, mate. A proper fight.
It's a huge fight, and it surprises me really that they were so adamant that the Avanesian fight is going to go forward, because obviously Conor Benn being signed to Matchroom, like Josh, I just thought Eddie Hearn might try and body swerve that one. Now, we know in the past they've body swerved the Avanesian fight, probably for all the right reasons, because Josh, even though he's got all the potential in the world, and you get the feeling with Josh, when it clicks, you just want to make sure you're on that train, because it's going to be fucking unreal.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's not quite clicking still, even though he's with one of the best trainers in the country in Adam Booth. It just doesn't seem to be quite clicking. He is getting caught up against the ropes. He is losing rounds in fights. He is coming through and getting some dodgy decisions to stay, to keep his record intact. And right now he looks anything but the finished article. Whereas you're right, Conor Benn at the weekend, I'm tweeting going into that fight. I'm like, this is a 50-50, man. Formella's done it. He's been there. He's done it. Yes, got a bit of a padded record like a lot of Germans, but he silenced everybody by going to the US and taking everything Sean Porter could throw at him. Yes, he lost every round, but he proved he's got a tremendous chin, and he proved in that fight that he can hang with the big boys. And I just thought Conor Benn might have lost some rounds here. Been outboxed at times. Yeah. Had to make it scrappy, maybe had to drag Formella into a war in the middle of the ring. to get ahead and bust them up and to win rounds. And I thought he would have come through, battered and bruised, but proven once again that, you know, those Ben boys are made of fine of stronger minerals. But instead, all credit to Connor, all credit to the Sims, mate. He come out and just went, boom, the best and most important punch in boxing's the jab. Have a bit of that. And just force-fed it for Miller. His jab was absolutely tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. It was controlled aggression.
Yeah.
Yes, we've seen glimpses of Conor Benn when he loves to dig his toes into the canvas and fucking let shots go. But there was also this new Conor Benn who was just taking a step backwards. He was landing two and three and then slipping backwards. You know, there's a time, once, twice, maybe even three times he had four Miller in trouble. But at no stage did he throw the baby out with the dishwater to try and finish the fight. The type of stuff that he was doing in his first dozen fights where it was like, fucking, let's just have it. He didn't do that. It's like he went in there to, you know, he went in there to obviously to get the finish because he started so strong and so brightly. I think he went, right, let's give ourselves three rounds at a really high pace to stop this German guy. And after three rounds, if he's still there, if he's not hanging on by a thread, boom, we're going to plan B. And that is show the world how Conor Benn is developing and becoming an intelligent, aggressive striker. And that's exactly what he did. I loved every single second of it. I thought he was brilliant. And, you know, he's unmissable TV. Yeah. And then he gets on the microphone and he's fucking unmissable on the microphone,
mate,
as well.
We were here last week, weren't we? We were here last week talking about this. Terence Crawford absolutely chops up Kell Brook, gets the job done, then gets on the microphone and he's wishy-washy. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't give you that killer promo. It's it might be Pacquiao, it might be Spencer. It's in and out. I tell you what, that is how you own it. If you're a young fighter now, and we kind of had this conversation on our MMA show when we were on Fight Island, because there were a fighter on there called Lauren Murphy who put in a wonderful performance and then killed it on the promo. And she said herself, listen, I put as much attention into what I'm saying on that microphone as I do as what I'm doing in the octagon. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. Because once you've done the thing, you need to put the cherry on top of the cake. And Conor Benn absolutely nailed it. He's just put in a career best performance. He gets on the microphone, speaks brilliantly. He's always very critical about his performances, Conor, and very real with what he's doing. And he's done that. Eddie turns up for part of the interview. He says, I'm only interested in one fight. I'm not interested in all these morons with bloody Instagram followers and all this type of stuff. Get me Josh Kelly. One name, very, very simple for everybody to understand. Go and get me Josh Kelly. And then all of a sudden, the whole world is on board. Look, I mean, look how I started the show today. Straight away I went, let's get that fight on. Everybody wants that fight now. Conor Benn has absolutely nailed it. 10 out of 10 performance at the weekend. And any young fighter, any fighter looking to progress with a career, watch what he did at the weekend and just copy that. That's all you've got to do if you want to kick on.
But listen, like, they were easy target the other week. Sky, the commentary team, the way they handled the Natasha Jonas situation and Terry Harper. Well, they didn't handle it. They made a fucking complete pig's ear of it. But this was completely different. They were all in line. They were all in check. They all got it. Like,
Conor forced that. Conor forced that. Of course. No, they had to fall in line because he forced it. He was dancing the narrative.
True. They had Adam Booth in the commentary booth who had to respond then to the call out from Conor Benn. They had Eddie Hearn. As you say, they had no choice. Eddie Hearn had to talk about that fight. Go on then. When's it happening? Well, actually, Josh is definitely fighting Avanesian. So after that, well, now it's going to have to be Conor. And then, okay, let's go back to Adam Booth. Adam, what do you think? Well, yeah, we're committed to Avanesian. But, you know, after a performance like that, why not? You're right, man. I guess it was Conor Benn that made that happen, that sold that narrative. But it all kind of, all credit to him. Like, I literally couldn't have been more impressed by him. Even if he'd have stopped Formella early, if he'd have stopped him early, I might have gone, yeah, but, you know, maybe Formella, you know, he's just come back from the US, lost every round. You know, he's probably come into this fight.
He's tough, that lad, by the way, isn't he? How many whacks did he take? Jeez.
He doesn't look it, though, does he?
No.
He doesn't, you know.
He looks like my paper lad. He looks like the lad that drops the milk off at my house.
He looks like a little boy. He's got a twat of a haircut. And I'm just thinking, Jesus Christ, mate, you're going to get run through here. But the kid had a chin on him. He was game as anything. But I just think in seeing Conor do the full 10 rounds in the manner in which he did, there was times in that, as you say, there was times in the fight when he was taking a step backwards when he was on top. to compose himself, to get back behind the jab, to look for different openings. And I was just like, I was more impressed by that than I would have been if he'd have kept stepping forward and throwing another dozen shots and trying to land half of them. That was what I was super impressed by. I was like, holy shit, this kid, he's no longer, for me, he's growing out of the shadow now. He's starting to grow out of Nigel's shadow of being like, you know, oh, it's Nigel Benn's lad, let's put him on the card. Now this is Conor Benn. And he deserved status there. He deserved that top spot against Fumela. And he deserves to move forward with his career. I think the Kelly fight is a huge fight for both of them. And I think right now, Conor Benn's the guy with his tail up. Kelly almost needs the Avanesian win now to bring us back to be like, oh my God, this is going to be special. The problem is, I think Avanesian's a step up from Fumela. Avanesian's been there, done it, wore the t-shirt. He's been a world champion. I think that's a super hard fight. And he's also a guy that's been training for Kelly for best part of 18 months.
And he's pissed him off.
Who isn't ready.
And he's pissed him off.
He was incredibly pissed off. So, you know, that's why I was surprised, really. Eddie especially was like, you know what? I don't need Avanesian. We don't need that headache. Let's just do the Conor Benn fight.
Yeah. Mate.
So credit to them all for keeping it on. But man, I was so impressed. He was brilliant.
He was brilliant. Fabio Wardley against No Party No Larty. I saw a lot I was on the radio at the time of this knockout, right? So I saw it out the corner of my eye and I've watched the replays of it. And it's odd. It looks odd. Yeah?
It's the jab. It's the jab that does it. The jab before the right hand does it.
Hmm.
The jab hits Larty and Larty looks like he's all over the place already. And he doesn't see that right hand coming. And it comes around the back. And yeah, it is, you know, it doesn't look like the biggest shot, but I don't think that's the problem. I think his head's already scrambled by the jab that came before it.
Mm. What do you make of Fabio Wardley against Nathan Gorman? If we make that fight next. That sounds a nice fight next, yeah?
Good. Makes perfect sense to me. And I see that, I follow both these guys on social media as well. And Nathan was all over it. Nathan was like, yep, all day, every day. So it's going to be tough with Fabio Wardley because he is a former white-collar boxer. So
I like him, though.
A desperate lack of experience. But sometimes that's not necessarily a bad thing because he doesn't respect anybody.
Yeah.
And we don't know how far this kid could go. And if he is hanging with Dillian, as we're led to believe in sparring sessions, then fuck it, man. Gorman's the perfect test.
Yeah. What did you make of the Weatherspoons Championship? That was a bit of a fight, weren't it?
Don't, because you know what the WBC are like. They'll hear this and they will actually bring that belt out. They will bring it out. The thing with Alan Babich and Tom Little, let me just say that it was certainly attractive to a certain demographic.
Yeah.
I.e. big, hairy homosexuals. Because they have that whole like cult, don't they? There's a thing in the LGBT community of big hairy men like gay bears. I think they're called bears, the gay bears, or whatever. Like big,
just bear me, bear with
big
me one
truckers
second.
Or bikers.
I would like to distance myself from whatever he is about to say because one, I have no idea about this.
It's like fetish. It's like a fetish.
How do you know
it's
this?
Like a fetish.
How do you know this?
Mate, I'm a man of the world. I'm a worldly man. I make it my responsibility to know these things.
So in the big fetish, hairy men is a fetish in the gay community. Is that what you're saying?
In the gay community, in the gay community, there is a fetish about big, hairy, like trucker type men. And for them, Babich versus Little.
Yeah.
That was it was based like a porno. That was basically like a porno for this gay bear community, which is why I posted the thing on Twitter saying here's Babich's post-fight party. It was titillating to a certain demographic, let me just tell you that.
Your head works in a really weird way, mate. You're fucking weird, right?
Honestly, if you...
How can you look at that, right? And the first thing that comes into your head, that's a gay porno, that. Well, how's that come into your head straight away?
As soon as they touch gloves in the middle of the octagon, I thought, this is a bottle of baby lotion away from a gay porno. It's what it is. It's what it was. It's what it looked like.
Right. Okay. Looked like two door lads knocking fuck out of each other outside Weatherspoons to me. But yeah, go on. Carry on.
Maybe not Weatherspoons. Maybe Superstar Boudoir or G-A-Y. Garlands or something like that. Maybe G-A-Y. Yeah, exactly. Listen, man. It is what it is. I was disappointed by Tom Little because he talked the talk and he didn't walk the walk. He looked like he didn't want to be in there once Babbage started unloading.
Got caught in the headlights.
Yeah, in the first round, you thought, and he was goading Babbage, and you thought, man, Little knows what he's doing here. He's covering up. He's letting Babbage punch himself out, and then he's going to come to life. The problem is, we got into the third round, and Babbage was as fresh in the third as he was in the first. He was still just winging away.
Loves a hook,
doesn't
he?
Big shots.
Loves a hook, does Babbage. Has he got any other shots in his arsenal, or is it just hook central?
Dig them toes into the canvas and hook away. And Tom Little, you know, for a guy the size of Tom Little, for Christ's sake, you know, he has got a lot of experience now. He's 33 years of age. He must be at least, what, 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah.
Something like that. He's a big boy, Tom Little. To be 18 fights into a pro career, Tom, and still not know how to throw a jab is a bit fucking embarrassing, especially when you're labelled a journeyman these days. That was disappointing for me. All Babbage does is gets close enough to wing away his hooks.
That's it.
So if you're the size of Tom Little, all you got to do is take a leaf out of Conor Benn's book. Just drive that jab right down the pipe every time he steps forward.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Win rounds on the end of your jab. So covering up and letting him wing away and then getting to the third round and realising, actually, Babbage is pretty fit, was disappointing tactics from Mr. Little, I'm afraid.
Mm. Fancy a fight with Pricey?
For Babbage?
Yeah.
Pricey had fucking rammed Roddy's jab right down his throat.
Look at you. Babbage Price, man. I think I'm in on it. Doing a bit of matchmaking today. Fabio Wardley against Nathan Gorman, Alan Babbage, David Price. I think I'm in.
Easy money.
Oh, here he is. Anything else you want to talk about from the card at the weekend?
Nah, Sam.
It was all about Conor Benn, let's be honest.
It was all about Conor Benn, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Before we move on then, I just want to tell you about, it was a big weekend for our favourite organisation, the WBC.
WBC. He's been absolutely chomping to get this on the show. Why are you doing this? Let's have a look at the time. We've had 20 minutes near enough now, right? And now you want to rev
positivity.
Me up. I've had 20 minutes of positivity and now you want to get me going. Right, go on.
So over the weekend, the WBC threw a belt at there was a WBC Latino title fight out there.
Yeah.
There was a WBC Youth World title fight that went on and was awarded at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
But the creme de la creme in Quebec, Canada, Yves Ulysses Jr. TKO'd Matteo Germain in the seventh of a 10-rounder to capture the vacant WBC Francophone Super Lightweight World Title.
Would you like to explain? What's a Francophone?
Francophone is French-speaking.
Ah.
So you have to be able to speak French to qualify for the WBC Francophone Super Lightweight title.
Bonjour. Do I qualify?
Am
I in? Au revoir. I could do them all, mate. Petit point. Bonnet de douche. The Del Boy belt. That's basically what they've just been fighting for at the weekend, isn't it? Nice. I'm all for that. You've got to be inclusive. No. Positivity. You've got to be inclusive with you've got to give everybody an opportunity. And the French-speaking athletes needed the opportunity just as much as the Spanish-speaking athletes. I'm all for it, Nick. All for it.
Jesus. I got into WBC Scouse.
Yeah.
Super heavyweight world title belt.
You're going to get one?
Just Pricey knocking me out. That'd be it.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special mention from our sponsors, manscaped.com. To get your hands on their products, get to manscaped.com and use our special fight code, FIGHT20, for major discount. Here's Nick Pete to tell you how smooth his balls are looking right now in the lead up to Christmas.
Back, crack, sack, rack. If you want to be bald like me for Christmas, there's only one place to go. That's Manscaped. Get your nether regions shaved, give your partner a treat, and ensure that Christmas begins with a lovely bit of the old jingle, jingle bells.
Fight 20 at manscaped.com. Now, back to the podcast.
see it.
Go on then. Seeing as that you've brought up the term scouse, your boy's got his date, December the 19th. Just a quick one on this, right? Because, again, I've been harsh on boxing, especially over the last 3 to 4 months, mainly because we've been drip-fed. We've been feeding on scraps. Not anymore. Because from this weekend onwards, you know full well that you're getting Dubois Joyce. The weekend after, you're going to get Spence versus Garcia. I'm just mentioning the big fights now. I know that, obviously, Lyndon Arthur and Anthony Yard are fighting, and we've got Billy Joe Saunders and Martin Murray. But let's concentrate on the big ones. On the 5th, you've got Spence versus Garcia. Week after, unified heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua defends against Kubrat Pulev. Week after, Golovkin's on the Friday. And then you've got Canelo Smith on the Saturday. It was supposed to be Garcia and Campbell the week after, but because it's Christmas and Luke's got family, they've knocked it back an extra week. So it's January the 2nd that Garcia and Campbell will be fighting. So you're going to... Sadly, we don't get boxing on Boxing Day, which is a kick in the nuts, but we still get it just after New Year's, which is a belter. I mean, look at that schedule, man. That is what you should be smiling about. There's your Christmas presents all there, aren't they? And the biggest one, I suppose, is December the 19th, because after all the chat, 18 months, 2 years of constantly talking about the cinnamon haired one, Callum Smith gets his shot. And don't give me this. Don't you dare, right? I want the same energy now. Don't give me, oh, it's only 4 weeks notice. It's a bit of a risk. No, bollocks. He's been living with this for a year. He has been preparing for at least a year. Let's keep that same energy. This is not a 4 week fight. They're all in. They're in camp. They know what they're doing. Yeah, they've got to deal with protocols and isolations and quarantines and all that nonsense and getting to Texas. But this is it. This is what you've been waiting for. Let's roll, baby.
Absolutely. And we've got what? We've got plenty of years on him. We've got an undefeated record.
What's this wee? What's this wee stuff? What are you doing now? Are you in the camp? Are you going out there? Are you the bookie man?
I'm on the team. Right. I'm part of the team.
Right, go on then.
Seven inch height advantage, 88 inch reach advantage.
Is that what it is? Seven inches? 7 inches?
7 inches, yeah. This is fucking bread and butter for us, son. Bread and butter. This could be the easiest defense of Callum Smith's career, this one.
Go on. Sell it. Keep going.
The kid's a middleweight. That's all he is. He's a blown up middleweight. All he is. You know, it's one thing handpicking a pastor's sell by date Kovalev and picking off that light heavyweight title, but it's completely different getting in there with the world number one at super middleweight. 6'3", 78 reach advantage, 27 fights, 27 wins, 19 knockouts, can fight long, can fight on the inside, can punch. He's been waiting for this fight for a long time, Callum Smith, a long time. And we're going to see him do the business. I'm absolutely convinced of that. You know, I think Canelo's only opportunity here is to drag it out and try and get a usual Canelo Alvarez points decision. Yeah. People will say, oh, yeah, but he'll get on the inside. He'll work the inside. Listen, man, Callum Smith does his best work on the inside. He does his best work on the inside. And you better believe that little bump will be getting punched up in the air. A little choppy right uppercut. Lift that head up in the air. Boom, and there's the money shot. The Callum Smith left hook. Mark my words. The Callum Smith left hook will force Canelo to hit the canvas in this fight en route to a successful defense and en route to a money-spinning rematch in 2021. Because it'll be in the contract. We all know that. It'll be a two-fight deal at least. But I'm convinced Callum Smith, we've waited long enough. He has been waiting patiently for over 18 months for this fight to happen. He's got the experience. He's been to Texas before. He's stood in a dressing room and he's waited and he's listened to the crowd and he's made the walk with his brother to fight Canelo. He's been around it all. He's seen the media. He's seen everything about it. He knows what it takes to get in there with Canelo Alvarez. That won't be a shock to him. He understands the platform is now raised to the top level in terms of boxing, but he also knows that he should be supremely confident.
Love it.
Younger, love it. Stronger,
love it.
Bigger.
Yeah, I just love that enthusiasm, man. I'm in. You've sold it to me. I'm putting my money on it now. There's no doubt about it. This is Canelo's stiffest test at super middleweight. He's just unreal. Canelo has proven against the very, very best fighters in the world that he can do everything. He can fight forwards, backwards, sideways. He's got the arsenal. He's got the array of shots. He can change his tactics mid-fight. He can adapt to situations. He has got the lot. Yeah, he's got problems with Clem Buterol, as we've brought up on this show in the past. But when it comes to actual fighting, the lad is mustard. He's been doing this since he was 15 years of age. He's got 50-odd fights under his resume, and he's not even 30 yet, mate, right? He knows what he's doing. You're right in what you're saying about Callum Smith. His best work is on the inside. For such a big lad, he can fight brilliantly as a small lad. It's weird how he can do it. He can also fight long as well. His jab's really, really good. His left up to the body's outstanding. And he's tough. He is tough. There's a lot of people that will judge this fight on the John Ryder performance. There are certain fighters in the world that need the motivation. They need the level of jeopardy in the other corner, don't they? Tyson Fury is one of them. Billy Joe Saunders is most certainly one of them. We see these guys lower their performance to the standard of the guy that they are fighting. And that's no disrespect to John Ryder. John Ryder's solid, man. He's coming on good and he looks most certainly better at super middleweight than he did at middleweight. But I think Callum Smith that night, you just got a bad night. You got a bad night from him. He took his eye off the ball. He's gone in there unmotivated because of all this chat about Canelo. He thought, right, I'll just get rid of John Ryder and we'll move on. And you got a flat performance. And John Ryder, as I said at the time, for me, took that fight. You disagree. There's other people that disagree. But I think he took that fight. Now, we move on. You are going to get the very best Callum Smith here. The very, very best Callum Smith. Mainly because of a motivational thing, because of the guy at the other end. We saw it against George Groves. George Groves was legit. Callum Smith stepped up that night, didn't he, in the Middle East, and showed just how good he is. We saw it against... I know this is a bit of a play down given to what's happened to Rocky Fielding of late. But if you remember back to the time, that was a real battle of Liverpool. It was proper.
Yeah.
There was a lot on it. Callum Smith, Rocky Fielding, who's the best, right, at that particular time? And it might be difficult for people who are new listeners to us to remember back to that, but it was. These guys were unknowns. Callum Smith dealt with a whole vibe in the Echo Arena that night, and he smashed Rocky to bits, right? Absolutely phenomenal performance. When it's high stakes, when it's big pressure, Callum Smith does step up, man. He does step Always. Up, and he's proven it time and time and time again. And from a technical aspect, you've just listed all his attributes. He has got all the attributes to beat Canelo. He does. There's no doubt about that. It's putting them all together on the night, mate. And second-guessing what Canelo's going to do. It's not just about having the left hook to the body, being brilliant on the inside, being able to do it at range. It's doing it all at the right time against the guy that has proven to have a sensational ring IQ. You've got to outthink this dude as well, man. This is it's an unbelievable fight. He has all the skills to do it. Can he put it all together? If he can, we might just get what you've just said. But logic, when you take emotion out of the situation, logic would say that Canelo will find a way. And Callum's got to knock him out. Yeah. Callum has to knock him out to win this fight. You've seen this in the past. He has to knock him out. He ain't getting a decision against Canelo in Texas. That's just not happening.
No. No. But there is a blueprint to beat Canelo.
Yeah, Golovkin showed that. But Canelo then readjusted for the second fight. He showed a totally different way of fighting. He beat Golovkin doing
Golovkin. He fought Golovkin at his own way. Yeah, yeah. He beat Golovkin doing the Golovkin thing. Yeah, exactly. Listen, don't forget as well, I thought Danny Jacobs did well against Canelo too. There was times, even though he got stopped late on, Kovalev did well against Canelo. I think timing's everything in the sport. And even though, I think there's only about 6-7 months between them.
Yeah,
Canelo's just a little bit older. But he has had 56 fights now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
56 daft, yeah. fights. It's all about timing, man. And it's all about, listen, I credit Canelo for taking this fight because he could have taken on Yildirim for the WBC belt. Fucking Sullivan threw that WBC belt at it and was like, yeah, man, just fight Yildirim for it. And they tried to give him a gimme. But all due respect to Team Canelo, I think there's an element of, fuck it, man. We've got a handful of fights left before he walks away. A handful at most. And I think Team Canelo have gone, we've got 2-3 fights left in us. We want to do X, Y, and Z. And one of the X, Y, and Z is become the number one super middleweight on the planet. We don't do that by beating Yildirim. We'll then have to go back and fight Smith if he's still the number one, or a Plant, or whoever it may be, a Saunders.
Billy Joe, yeah.
So who's number one now, Smith, right? Well, let's try and do that fight. And then that's done then. We can tick that box. And then we go looking maybe for a Golovkin trilogy fight or whatever it may be, whatever's in their mind. Because you better believe they've got an exit now. At this stage of Canelo's career, they've got an exit plan. They've got a 1-2-3 exit plan, or 1-2-3-4, whatever it may be, however many fights he's got left. The exit is on the horizon. So I credit them for going, fuck it, man. Let's just do it. But there's also an element of maybe he is slowing down. Maybe the sparring sessions are getting tougher. Maybe the you know, competing, especially during a pandemic when we've had lockdown, and will we have fans? Won't we have fans? You know, now he's pretty much managing himself, promoting himself. I think there might be just an element of let's get Callum Smith now, because in 6 months' time, we're going to be 6 months older again. And I mean older as in fighting terms.
I love this enthusiasm. I love this optimism.
It's all about timing. And I think they're trying to bite. They're trying to take a big bite out of this division quickly because Canelo's losing his teeth. And I think they're trying to take a bite out of Callum Smith now, because if they do it later, he's only going to get slower and more battle hardened. So I think all the risk is with Team Canelo. All the risk is there. And we've seen him lose a lot of rounds recently. We've seen him lose a lot of rounds.
You're right. The risk is with Canelo. He's the superstar. He's the pay-per-view superstar. He's the pound-for-pound number one on the majority of people's list. There's no risk whatsoever for Callum. This is it. There you go, mate. There's the mountain. Go and climb it. Go and be the guy. There's no risk there. But what I'm saying is that the task is monumental. People have got to keep that same energy post-fight to where they're at right now. They know full well that the task of beating Canelo is very, very, very tough. As I've said, Callum has all the attributes to be able to do it. Can he outthink him, and can he put it all together on the same night over a 12-round period or whatever it may be to conclusively show to the judges, I've just absolutely battered your boy in your back garden. You have to give it to me. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to have to win at least, to win on the cards, and I can't see this, he's going to have win at least 9 rounds. At least.
Yeah.
That's tough, mate. That's tough to do against Canelo.
Unless you stop him.
Unless you stop him, yeah, he's got to stop him.
Unless you stop him.
Nobody's done that.
No. I think that's what Callum Smith needs to do. He needs to stop him, and he needs to, I think he'll have to put his foot down late on. He'll have to try and get that stoppage out of there. But I think, you know, I think Canelo's going to end up on the floor in this fight, and it's whether Callum Smith can capitalize on that.
What makes you think that?
Because Callum Smith has got all the attributes to put him on his ass.
Okay.
He's too big. Callum Smith is too big, and he's too fresh. You know, we all know that Kovalev was on the slide when he fought Canelo. Yeah. We know that. That's why Canelo fought him. Kovalev wasn't the number one in the light heavyweight division. No. Probably wasn't even top three. But Canelo chose him for the purpose, and yet he still lost fights. One of the judges had that fight a draw before it got stopped. Uh-huh. Danny Jacobs, Canelo won it by, 2-3 rounds? You know, the Golovkin fight, he lost the first fight. Yes, he was brilliant in the second fight, but it's not like, I think one of the judges had that a draw in the second fight. It wasn't. I thought Canelo won it by 2 or 3 rounds. But these are guys at the very top of the tree. Don't get me wrong. These are top-ranked guys. The point is, he isn't wiping anybody out. He isn't schooling people at the top of the level. And Callum Smith's at the top of the sport. He isn't going to school Callum Smith. He isn't going to stop him inside 3 or 4 rounds, and he isn't going to win every round. That's a fact. Now it's all about getting into Callum Smith's head and making him believe, like I believe and a lot of fans believe, that Callum Smith has got the attributes to beat Canelo. You just need to get the name Canelo out your head. Just call him the little ginger one, the little ginger fella we're fighting. You know what I mean? That's how you got to prepare it. Prepare it like you're just fighting some little ginger fella that's had 50-odd fights out of Mexico. Prepare like that, because that's what you've got to run through. Just run through this guy. Be the very best Callum Smith on the night, and don't necessarily worry about what Canelo is going to do. That's what he needs to be. And take solace from the fact that Kovalev, Jacobs, Golovkin have all taken a lot of rounds off Canelo.
Hmm. Do you know what I love about this as well?
He's going to stop him. He's going to stop him, I'm telling you.
The moment that this fight was made, Nick was sending me flight details. He was texting me flight details of how we could get to Texas. And I went, mate, right, it's December the 19th. Never mind getting to Texas. How about getting back home for Christmas in the middle of a fucking pandemic? It ain't happening, mate. You're not going to Texas. Have you told your wife yet? Or have you just had a couple of whiskeys and you've decided to text me in the hope? This is what you do. You do this all the time, right? You have these mad shit ideas. You text me, and then if I confirm that it's a good idea, you then fucking blow it right up and then say, well, Adam's on board. You would have gone to your wife that night. He said, Adam said we've got to go to Texas, right? And you use that as an argument to then get yourself into that situation, don't you? But because I poo-pooed it and went, mate, we're not going to Texas. It's just not going to happen. It's just too much. We can't make that happen, right? Bear in mind, we are filming an end-of-year show for BT Sport on the 20th of December. So how are you going to get back in 24 hours, mate? How are you going to do it?
Yeah, man, it's impossible. I just wanted to be there because I wanted to be there when the moment when Canelo got carried out of the ring for the very first time. That's what I wanted to be there for. See the look on little Ryan Garcia's face.
That's two weeks after. You could go to that one. We'll get you out for January 2nd.
Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, January 2nd. Yeah.
When he takes on Luke Campbell. That should be a cracker. Listen, that schedule is outrageous. And it starts this weekend. Let's get into this weekend, shall we? Because this weekend, again, I just want to say, if you're a new listener, you've just come to this podcast, you think to yourself, this lad with the Northern accent's very positive. I like him. No, I'm not normally like this. I'm normally slagging everything off, right? That's where I normally am. And for the last 3 months, I have been, and I've been hypercritical of matchups that were supposed to be being made, hypercritical of fight cards, hypercritical of everything in the world of boxing, because maybe I spend too much time covering UFC and I'm comparing fight sports. I don't know, but that's just where my head's at. This week, there's nothing negative that I can say about it, because this is a fight that every single one of us wants. This is a fight that really shouldn't be happening during a pandemic. It really shouldn't be happening behind closed doors. It really shouldn't be happening not on pay-per-view. But we're getting all those things. We're getting this as part of your normal television subscription. You're getting it. We know fans in an arena. Both fighters have taken a haircut on their wages. The promoter's taken a haircut on the amount of money that he makes. The television channel's taken a haircut on the amount of money that they make. And they're putting it on. They're putting it on the line for us. It's a proper fight. And I've no doubt that during the length of this podcast, you will flip-flop between your own thoughts of who is going to win this. Daniel Dubois, Joe Joyce. You could make justified arguments for both of these guys to win this fight. That is a good fight. That's when a proper fight is made. Man, I'm absolutely super pumped for this because I've no idea what's going to happen. No idea. The big question is, can Joe take Daniel's power? If Joe can take Daniel's power in those first two, three rounds, we have got a fight on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus.
You're absolutely right. And that is the key to everything, isn't it? If he can take Daniel Dubois' power, and 14 out of 15 fighters previously haven't been able to do so, then Joe Joyce could well drag Daniel Dubois into very deep water and be able to set the kind of relentless pace, albeit his slow motion pace, but he is relentless to force Dubois up against the ropes and to start making mistakes, and then he could potentially hurt Dubois. You know, for me, that's Joe Joyce's caveat right there. I'm excited to get in the bubble this week. I'm excited to see Joe and to see Daniel and to converse with them, especially off camera, because they're a bit more comfortable off camera, but just to kind of get a hint of what the mentality is going to be. You know, that will be the rhetoric this week. Can Joe Joyce take Daniel Dubois' power early? But is Joe Joyce planning to do a Tyson Fury on us? Is Joe Joyce planning to meet fire with fire inside the ring in the first three rounds and have a shootout? Fucking guy's never been dropped. He's got 10 knockouts and 11 wins himself, so why shouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's a big dude. It's not like he's 6'2 or whatever. He's fucking, I think he's bigger than Dubois, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is Joe Joyce
tall wise, height wise, yeah.
6'6. Yeah, he's 6'6. Dubois 6'5. So they're very evenly matched because of his physical shape, Joe Joyce. We'll come on to that in a second. But, you know, he looks thicker than Dubois across the middle. But hey, man, he's 35 years of age. It happens to the best of us.
He's in great
shape. Now he's in tremendous shape.
Yeah.
You know, I seen a picture the other day. He's got a six pack and everything. He's a long way away from the way he looked in his last fight. Yeah, where, let's face it, he looked awful. He looks absolutely brilliant now by comparison. But I love this fight, man. I love everything about it. You know where I'm at in terms of who I think ultimately the winner is, and I don't think that's going to change. But I think Joe Joyce is probably going to weigh in under sub 250, which is 20 pounds lighter than he was last time out. Probably the lightest he's ever been, because he knows that for him to win, he needs good foot movement and he needs to get Dubois into deeper waters, potentially. Again, unless he decides to go toe-to-toe. Dubois, of course, will weigh what he always weighs, about 245. But I'd like to see Joyce at around a similar weight class, because then I think we're going to get a proper fight.
Mate, I genuinely can't wait for it. My tip, if anybody's even asked about this, my tip is that Daniel Dubois won't knock out Joe Joyce. He's too tough. I think Joe Joyce will get stopped on his feet. That's my initial thought right now. That might change throughout the course of the week. But right now, I'd say 5-6, he'll get stopped on his feet, will Joe Joyce. But you're right in what you're saying regarding the tactics of this fight. How does this play out? What happens when Daniel Dubois gets tagged on the whiskers? Because we've seen it previously. There's a bit of immaturity there, isn't there, that he wants to get it back straight away. As soon as he gets whacked, he wants to whack back. He wants to go straight in. He doesn't think about the fight logically. He just wants to have a scrap then. And if Joe Joyce can drag him into that situation, then bloody hell, man, we could have something really, really special on our hands. How does that big muscle mass operate when you get to round 7-8, if we get there? How does it operate? Will the lactic acid build up? Will the gas tank fail on him? We don't know. There's so many things that we do not know about Daniel Dubois in a proper fight. This is a proper fight, man. He might blow him out first punch. He might do. He might just have that ferocious power that lands on the whiskers and it's over. That's the beauty of heavyweights. That's the beauty of this particular knock. I can't wait. It's only Monday. I'm absolutely thirsty for it.
I believe at this point in time as well, Joe Joyce, being as experienced as he is, you know, 35 years of age, he can't afford to lose next Saturday night.
I agree.
He really can't, because his career just takes a huge backward step. And the gamble of being with Frank Warren and being with BT Sport completely and utterly blows up in his face, because there's no reason for Joe Joyce to be with this promoter and with this channel. For me, it makes no sense unless you're using the Dubois name to springboard yourself forward to get a world title fight, because there's no other big heavyweights here. There's nobody else to fight. Now, from the outside looking in, the reason Joe Joyce is signed with this promoter and this TV network is purely and simply to give Daniel Dubois the springboard of Joe Joyce to leap towards a world title shot in 2021. I get that, to become European, Commonwealth and British champion. The logic doesn't work when you flip it the other way around. You know, you get the feeling that if Joyce were to get the win, the first conversation would be about the rematch. You know, it's the old Dillian White and Matchroom and Povetkin kind of situation. They're keeping Joe Joyce around to give Daniel Dubois this springboard. And Joe Joyce can fuck everything up by getting a win on Saturday night. I truly believe that. I think Joe Joyce, Sam Jones and his corner will be the only Joe Joyce fans inside Church House. But that's just the way boxing works, unfortunately. Joe Joyce at this stage in his career, he can't afford to lose to Daniel Dubois, because he gets left on the dump. Because with all due respect to Joe, and I include Daniel in this, it's not like either of them know how to sell a fight properly. You know, it's not like either of them are good in front of camera or whatever.
They're getting better. Both of them are getting a lot better.
But both of them are very uncomfortable, you know? It makes the promoter's job. Look, if Top Rank are looking at potentially or going public with their fears about having to drop Terence Crawford because he costs them money, then you better believe people aren't necessarily looking at Joe Joyce like he's this golden ticket. But he's a golden ticket if he beats Daniel Dubois. Mm. He beats Daniel Dubois, he's an acquisition worth investing in, because even though he's 35, he's got the British Commonwealth European titles around his waist, and he's a kid that can hang it at the top of the division. He's just got the biggest scalp for me. The hottest prospect in the heavyweight division is Daniel Dubois. He's just scalped him. Joe Joyce now becomes a commodity. If he becomes another scalp, if he becomes win number 16 on Daniel Dubois' record, it's going to be tough sell getting Joe Joyce back out there with any promoter on any network, because people will only see him as a stepping stone. It's shit or bust for Joe Joyce. You can rebuild Daniel Dubois if he loses on Saturday. He can be rebuilt, no problem at all. But it's absolutely shit or bust for Joe Joyce. And how he handles this week, how he handles the fight on Saturday is going to be critical on where his career ends up. Because he can't lose. He can't lose. If he loses, forget about becoming a world champion. Yeah. Forget about it.
Come on, then. Call it. I've gone Dubois sixth with Joyce stopped on his feet. Referee will jump in and go, you're taking too much. That's enough. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you're probably right around the rounds. I think Joe Joyce will probably hang in there maybe a little bit longer. But I think the rounds... It's hard to see Joyce. For me, it's hard to even see Joyce winning that many rounds because I just think he's too slow and too cumbersome.
I said he'd win rounds. I said he'd just be there.
No, but I just think he'll probably last a little longer because he's tougher. Yeah. And only the referee can stop him on his feet. His corner certainly aren't going to stop him because there is no tomorrow for Joe Joyce. So I'm going to go for a stoppage, but I'm going to go for it a little bit later, maybe around 8 or 9. I think Joyce will last a little bit longer, but I still think Daniel Dubois will knock him out.
We got a bit of action on Friday night as well. Jacobs Rosado. I haven't seen a British TV channel for that as of yet. It's on DAZN, but DAZN UK hasn't launched as of yet until December 1st. Tony Yorker and Chris Hammer are going at it as well, which is quite apt, isn't it? Tony Yorker being the guy that stole the gold medal off Joe Joyce. I say still, it wasn't his fault. It was shit judging. But there you go. They're having a little bit of a go on Friday night. And just on the undercard of Joe and Daniel, Jack Catterall's back out. It'd be good to speak to him this week because obviously he's been in the news quite a lot with the Josh Taylor, Jose Ramirez situation, stepping aside, agreeing for them to crack on and do their thing. Love a little bit of a chat with him this week just to find out where his head's at, his thought process behind it. And I've no doubt he'll talk about his hopes, dreams and ambitions of becoming not just a world champion, but a unified world champion at some point in 2021 if he can get the fight with Josh or Jose. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Sorted, mate. We're done there, aren't we?
Can't wait.
Are we done?
Nope.
Go on. I knew you were going to talk about the elephant in the room.
You've missed the card at the Staples Center on Saturday night.
Mm.
And there is pro fights on it, let's be clear. There are professional fights on this card. Badu Jack is in action. Jamie Ortiz. There's a little pro card. There's obviously some YouTubers on there as well. Jake Paul and that other fucking shite.
But we've basketball, got to talk the other lad. Nate fella is a basketballer.
Nathaniel Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
Let me explain why Adam knows who Nathaniel Robinson is.
Mm.
And that's because BT Sport have signed up for the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. spectacle. It's not a fight, it's a spectacle. And the reason I know that, the California State Athletic Commission, which is sanctioning this card, including Badu Jack versus Blake McKinnon, they have acknowledged the fact that the main event featuring two old age pensioners, albeit legends, old age pensioners, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., will not be judged and will not have a decision made on it. The referee won't call a fight. The judges aren't scoring the fight. There will be no scoring winner because, as I've just explained, it's an exhibition. It's a bit of fun. And we all look forward to seeing these guys raise loads of money for charity. But let's stay away from labeling this as a fight. It's not a fight. It's a bit of fun. So BT need themselves a fun time presenter to host this show and to bring a little bit of color. Hey, so who do they call on? They raise the flag. And they call in Mr. Funtime himself, ex-Rock FM and Radio 1 Super DJ, the man himself, the Catman, Adam Casserole. That's right, they bring Casserole in to polish the turd, and the main man is going to be front row centre on BT Sport box office this weekend, telling us why Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. is the biggest fight of the year. Is that going to be your shtick, is it? Is that going to be your shtick? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Big Time Boxing. Now, BT Sports, we've got the Titans, Mike Tyson, taking on the Superman, Roy Jones Jr. Welcome. It's going to be like King Kong versus Goliath. Oh, this is the greatest one. Will Tyson win and then go on and fight Tyson Fury, his namesake? Oh, he's going to turn back the clock. 65 years of age, and he's still able to become heavyweight champion of the world. or will Roy Jones Jr.? Oh, forget about the Tama defeat. Forget about all his losses in Russia. Roy Jones Jr. is back at the age of 72, and he's going to conquer the light heavyweight division once again. Get in there. Get Kovalev in here. Get Canelo in here. He's the man.
As I said at the start of the show, positive vibes only.
What happened? Did Dempsey turn it down, did he? Hey, did Dempo turn it down? Brilliant. I love it.
There you go.
You're going to have a lot of fun, brother. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Listen.
Who's on with you? Who's on with you, by the way? Wait a minute. I've just given it loads of stick there. I could have put myself out of a job. Just let them know. If BT are listening, I'll hand that up for you. No problem. Hey, I'll talk it up. Who's on with you, seriously?
David A. David A.
Oh, class.
Listen, man. This one is... You're a twat. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait, mate. It should be a cracker.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. It's going to be great.
Listen, do you know something?
It's a bit of fun. Hey, it's a bit of fun.
You've kind of said everything that needed to be said. It is a bit of fun. It's a trip down memory lane. It's a bit of nostalgia. Yeah, we'll look at some old Mike Tyson stuff. We'll look at some old Roy Jones Jr. stuff. But there won't be... I'm actually quite happy that they've asked me to do this. And the reason for it is because I would only sit at home getting frustrated watching the presenter tell me something that it's not. To go on and say all those things that you just said. It is 72 years of age, taking on Tyson Fury. No, that's not the rhetoric. That is not the angle that is going to be taken this weekend. This is to find out... Well, it's not to find out anything, is it? This is an event. It's a bit of fun, as you've said. You've just told us all about California and the State Athletic Commission of how they are going about calling this fight. I personally don't think there's such a thing as an exhibition in the world of boxing. We'll see what happens when the first bell goes. But the overriding story for me is that they're both raising a few quid, helping some people that need a bit of help. Mm-hmm. And we all get to celebrate some sensational times from yesteryear. That's it, yep. Man. You won't be sold a false narrative on this watch, let me tell you.
As you say, the funny thing is, and again, it is what it is, but, you know, the California State Athletic Commission have come out and saying, listen, we're not scoring this fight. It's an exhibition. It's not about the winners. But their other caveats, like the other thing they said was no knockouts allowed. How do you enforce that? How does the California State Athletic Commission enforce no knockouts allowed? Listen, man. I've done an exhibition many years ago with Shane Neary, and he could have knocked me out at any second. Of course he could. So there's a certain level of when you know you've landed something decent, you take a step back, you go for a little walk and basically carry someone. And that's what Shane Neary did. And, you know, I think that's what Tyson and Roy Jones are going to do. They're going to put on a bit of a show and they'll both know, man, if they connect something a bit decent, it'll take a step back time. You know, and I guess that's what they mean by no knockouts allowed. But, mate, if we've all seen sparring sessions. Doesn't matter how old you are, but we've all seen sparring sessions that if someone hits you and you think, that fucker's took a liberty there, I'm going to give him one back.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this age, where they both are at this age and the amount of power they've got, it would be absolutely terrifying if Jones just clips Tyson that bit too hard and the red smoke comes down. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen, of course, but it just feels weird, man. Let's just celebrate what it is. It's two old guys having a bit of fun, as you say. I'm going to raise some money for charity. It's bonkers, isn't it? It is bonkers.
See you on the telly on Sunday morning. Expect social media to be rife with Nick Pete tweets just abusing me after he's had a couple of whiskeys, just absolutely ransacking the shit out of me on the telly.
I'm going to be like three whiskeys in, be like, I need David Hay to clip Adam and show him how you pull a shot. I want to see David Hay land a haymaker on Adam and Adam stay on his feet. Show us how you pull a shot like that. Come on, let's see it. Put it on. Put that on the telly. That's what I need to see.
Before it, you've got Dubois Joyce. That will be an absolute cracker. Enjoy the fights this week because that's a treat. The Dubois Joyce fight is an absolute treat. So enjoy it. And enjoy this little period of good times in the world of boxing. We're being treated to some belters. And therefore, over the next few weeks or so, all you can expect from this podcast is nothing but positive vibes. You're going to get a lot of that as well on our MMA show, so get yourself over there and continue this conversation. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website. Everything that you need is on our website, including a little trip to the shop for some proper tackle. You've only got 4 weeks now for Christmas. You're going to need to stock up because it's looking like Boris is going to let people come round your house. So you're going to need some ale in, aren't you? You're going to need some ale just to keep that Christmas vibe going, and there's nothing better than a bit of proper tackle. It's all on our website, fightdisciples.com. Go and have a little bit of a nosy in on that, and please write a little review on iTunes for us. It helps with our visibility on the iTunes charts. I'll see you on telly at weekend. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.